Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. My name is George, and I have the privilege of serving as the senior pastor here. And in case any of you were wondering if those animals were real, we have some evidence up here that they're real animals. Just don't breathe too deeply. You know, they say in show business, you never want to follow children or animals. I'm not in show business this morning, but I get to follow children and animals. Would you express your appreciation to our choir, to our musicians, to all of those who have been serving and acting and leading us this morning? And especially to our conductor, Brian, who leads this charge. Would you express your appreciation to him? Just to give you a little insight into the energy and the effort that is put into this, yesterday we had the presentation at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we had people here at 7 o'clock doing makeup and costumes and all getting ready for that. And this morning, I think we've had people here at 5 a.m. getting ready for this. So the actors that you see here, it just doesn't happen in a New York minute. It takes a little longer than that for it to happen. Well, this second Sunday of Advent, we've been talking about hope. Anybody here hope for anything at Christmas time? Anybody have any? You're looking, maybe it's kids that are looking for video games or their online games, or maybe it's a new pair of sneakers so they can become a basketball professional, or parents, you're maybe as we get older, we generally get more clothes maybe than anything else, and so that you kind of know what you're going to get. And then some of us as parents, we know there's another thing we're going to get that we'd hope not to get. How many of you hope you don't have any bills after Christmas? Wouldn't it just be nice? MasterCard sends you a note and says, all is forgiven. Visa says, you don't have to pay it. Well, that might be a false hope today. I can't promise you that. But as we look in the Bible, when the word hope is used, the word hope is used in a way that means not just that something might happen. We have a hope in Jesus knowing that it will happen. And it ties into our faith. In 1944, Walter Winogurin wrote a book. He wrote a book later, but he was 10 years old in 1944. He wrote a book entitled The Manger Is Still Empty. And he talked about the traditions that would happen in his home. And as we're talking about home, we all have traditions. In Walter's home, he said what would happen. He was the oldest child. He said his dad, every Christmas Eve, would go into a particular room in the house, set up the Christmas tree, and put all the presents around the room. Now, when he went into that room to set the tree up, his dad would take the doorknob off the outside of the room so the kids couldn't get in while he was doing it. It was all to be done in secret. And then it was a big grand opening as that door would open and the kids, Walt and his younger brothers and sisters, would run into the room with great expectations of the presents and seeing the tree Christmas Eve for the very first time. But Walter said 1944, when he was 10 years old, it was different than any Christmas previously as he was growing up. He said in 1944, his dad was in there fixing the tree and putting the presents around, and his brothers and sisters were all giggling and all excited. He just had a frown. He wasn't excited as he had been in the prior years. See, Walter recalled that the year before, his younger brother Paul, when that door opened and they went inside, he said, no one knows even to this day what happened, but for some reason, Paul broke down in tears and Paul began to cry. And it made him very sad to see his brother cry on this occasion when it's supposed to be exciting and joyous and enthusiastic. And so he had decided in 1944, at 10 years old, he decided, I'm not going to get my hope up. I don't want to be disappointed. In fact, I wonder why Dad had not prevented that from happening last year. Maybe Dad should have done something to keep Paul from crying. And so he was disappointed about it. Well, his dad had set up the tree. His dad had put all the presents around the tree. The door opened from the other side, since they didn't have a doorknob on that side. And as they went in, his brothers and sisters and Paul ran in, great enthusiasm and laughter, and there was great joy. And Walter said he just walked over to the door frame and leaned against the door frame with a frown on his face, looking at everything that was happening, but preventing himself from being disappointed. You see, when you hope, you make yourself vulnerable, don't you? When you hope something will come to pass, if it doesn't come to pass, you can be vulnerable, you can be hurt. As he stood at that doorpost, the door frame, looked at his brothers and sisters and looked at all the presents, all of a sudden, he looked at his dad. His dad had been standing there watching not just his brothers and sisters, but his dad had been standing there watching Walter and watching his eldest son with a frown on his face, not participating, not enjoying what he had just spent all this time doing and decorating and the gifts that he had provided. And Walter realized as he locked eyes with his father that his father's joy was watching his sons and his daughters coming in and receiving everything that he had had for them. And so his father at that point was saddened to see his oldest son not joining in, not experiencing the joy that he had prepared for him. You know, as we think about Christmas, we think about those who have received Jesus Christ as Savior, as we think about our relationship with our Heavenly Father, I dare say that there's many people in this world who have faced disappointment in life. And some of our disappointments, we say, God, why did you allow this to happen? Why did you, could have prevented this, God. But how many of you found in life that life just happens to all of us, doesn't it? It happens in a variety of ways and experiences. You know, 4 years ago, Easter Sunday, my wife and I, we lost our home in a fire, had to be torn down to the foundation. And it was Christmas 4 years ago that we're living in an apartment on rented furniture, nothing of our own, everything in storage. And, you know, it can be really easy to look at something like that and say, God, why did you allow that to happen to me? And you can begin going the rest of your life and you can be frowning and you can be hurting inside. You're going to say, I don't want to hope anymore. I don't want to put myself out there anymore. But the scripture makes this promise. And I found that every promise in the scripture always comes true. And this is the promise that we find in the scripture, that those who hope in the Lord, those who put their trust in the Lord, will never be disappointed. You might have some setbacks, you might have some minor issues, but we have eternity with Him. We have joy that the Bible tells us that the world doesn't give it and the world can't take it away. It's an unspeakable joy that just comes from Christ Himself. And so at Christmas time, we can approach God's gift. We can approach the manger and we can either say, God, I don't understand all this and I'm disappointed. Or we can say, God, I know that you did this. You sent your son. As John 3:16 tells us, for God so what? He so loved us. He so loved the world that he gave his one and his only begotten son, that everyone who trusts in him, everyone who puts their faith in him can be saved. So this Christmas season, if you have maybe lost your relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe you've never understood what that's about, let me just tell you how you get there, how you begin to receive the gift that Jesus came and brought to us of eternal life and salvation. First, we all have to admit that we make mistakes. Anybody here have family members who make mistakes? Anybody here, you hold your second hand up, you make mistakes too. We all make mistakes. We all do things wrong. We get angry. We get bitter. We have unforgiveness. We have all those issues in our humanity and our sin. And as we come to the Savior, we always have to admit those. God, I'm broken inside. We're broken inside. But God, thank you for sending Jesus Christ because he came to forgive me. He came to give me new life. He came to give me a relationship with him. And as I have that relationship, my life begins to take on a different focus, and there's joy, and there are the things that I've always longed for and hoped for that only you can fulfill. How many of you found after Christmas time, some of those toys, you're giving them away to some neighbor's kids the next couple of years? They were great then, but then a couple of years, they've kind of lost their luster. I found that those who trust in Jesus Christ, Jesus never loses his luster. Jesus is always faithful. Jesus always comes through for us. And so we admit our brokenness, and then we say, but I put my faith in Jesus. This is what Jesus, he made the most audacious claim that anyone has ever made. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no one can come to the Father except by me. And so through Jesus, we have eternal life. You believe that he is who he said he is, the Son of God, who died on the cross and rose on that Easter Sunday so that we can have new life. We admit our brokenness. We say, Jesus, I believe in you. And then there's one more step. We choose to follow him. We make that choice, and we say, I'm going to walk out of here different. I'm going to walk out of here filled with joy. I'm going to walk out of here forgiven. I'm going to walk out of here with the shame being gone, but with a brand new hope. When you make those decisions, you become part of the family of God, adopted into his family, and his life becomes your life. Would you bow your heads with me as you're contemplating what Walter went through and maybe what we go through in our lives? Maybe you've come with disappointments and hope has been dashed. I want to invite you to trust one more time, to put your hope in Jesus one more time. I'm going to offer a prayer, and during this prayer, I'm going to ask you to just repeat the words after me, whether you're a believer, maybe you're making a fresh commitment. Maybe this morning you're just saying, once again, brand new, Lord, I've come back to you today. Would you repeat these words after me? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus and expressing your love for me. I'm so sorry that I have not honored you with my life. I ask your forgiveness. I embrace your son Jesus Christ. And today I choose to follow him. I give you all my guilt and all of my shame, and in return, I receive your peace, I receive your joy, and I receive hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you allow me to pray with you? Father, I pray for especially those who are making a new commitment or renewing their commitment today. Lord, may this be a season that's been different than every other Christmas. May they enter into the room, not stand in the doorway with a frown, but may they come to the manger. May they come to you in your presence with great joy and expectation. May their belief grow strong in you. And I invite you, Father, to show yourself strong on their behalf. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen, amen. Well, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time or made a recommitment, welcome to the family of God. Can we put our hands together and just welcome everyone who's made that prayer, that decision today?